Okay. Okay. Good morning, everybody. We are in Psachim Dav Beis Amud Aleph. Yesterday we left off, we spoke a little bit about Bein HaShemashos, that the Gemara in the end of Perek Bamim Adlikin, as well as the Maseches Nida, talks about the Machloikis HaTanoim, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yehuda is all the opinion that Bein HaShemashos is a block of time, fluctuates depending on the season of the year. That's what the Baal HaTanya writes in the Siddur. That's what the Bir Agro writes in Beis Samach Aleph, Hilchos Hadlakas HaNeiros HaNeirav Shabbos. So it fluctuates something between something like 18 minutes and 35 minutes. Depends what part of the world you're in. Sometimes the Bein HaShemashos is an hour and a half. A few years ago, I spent a week in Berlin, in the yeshiva in East Berlin. So the Bein HaShemashos goes on forever. It takes a long time until you get to different parts of the world, different amounts of time. So so someone raised the question yesterday that, so Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that there's a block of time that's called Bein HaShemashos, and Vilna Gaon and the Baal HaTanya both say right after the Shkia. The first, first 25 minutes after Shkia is Bein HaShemashos, and then after that is Seisot Kochav. And the Tana Rabbi Yosi is of the opinion that it's not a block of time. The first 24 and a half minutes of Ad Hayom, and then the next half minute is Bein HaShemashos, and it's only a harifying. That's what Rabbi Yosi says. Bein HaShemashos ke harifying. And then there's another version in Gemara Nida, in the context of the Sugya Nida, the Gemara is talking about the Azava. Azava Gedoyla means a woman had a Riyaz Dam below Es Nida. So whenever a woman becomes a Nida, she's a Nida for 7 days, and the next 11 days are called Yud Aleph Yom, should they need the Lenida. The one learns it out from Psukim, Rabbi Kiva learns it out from Psukim, and Rabbi Lozman Azari holds it as Halacha Moshe Sinai, that the woman can only become a Zava Gedoyla if she has Zava Tana, Zava Gedoyla if she has Riaz Dam in those 11 days. So if you have Dam in three consecutive days in the 11 days following the 7 days, Yud Aleph Yom should they need the Lenida, then she becomes a Zava Gedoyla. So what if she had Dam on Sunday in the daytime, on Monday in the daytime, then Monday evening, Bein HaShemashos is going into Tuesday. So then she'll be a Sofik Zavik Gedol, a Sofik Zavik Tana, because Bein HaShemashos is Sofik Yom, Sofik Lailo. If she has a Riyas Dam on Sunday and two Riyas on Monday, she's still only a Zavik Tana. To become a Zavik Gedol, you have to have three Riyas on three consecutive days. So that's what the Gemara quotes this Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Bein HaShemashos is a block of time, around 25, 35 minutes, the first 25 minutes after the Shkia is Bein HaShemashos. According to Rabbi Yosi, the first 24 and a half minutes is Vad HaYom, and the next Harifayim, the next half a minute is Bein HaShemashos, and then it's Teis HaKohar. So that's what the Bir Halacha in Chelek Dalet of the Mishkan Berurah claims, that our Gemara says, V'kaimalon da'ad Teis HaKohar mi'mamahu. Why is it Yamamahu? He says, our Gemara, Stam Gemara, goes like Rabbi Yosi. He thinks that this should indicate that we pass on like Rabbi Yosi. Either Gemara says in the end of Abba Madlikin, you shouldn't do Malacha right away, right after the Shkia, you shouldn't do Malacha. So that's, so the Mishnah Berurah holds, that's Lechumra. It's not that it's really a stake of the Dina. Whether the Dina is like Rabbi Yudah, like Rabbi Yosi, go Lechumra in both directions. No, the Dina is really like Rabbi Yosi, and the Gemara is recommending you should go Lechumra. So we mentioned that the Bir Agro doesn't seem to hold like that. Bir Agro seems to present it as if it's a Sveika Dina, but Allah, he's ignoring this Gemara, as if it's a Sveika Dina, whether the Din should be like Rabbi Yehuda, like Rabbi Yosi. Someone mentioned yesterday that there are still some Hasidim who will come home from work. When we're ready Mekabel Shabbos, we're ready Dav Ma'ariv. So other people will be coming home from work Friday evening after the Shkir, taking their shower and strolling, taking it easy, doing all kinds of malachas until three and a quarter mil after the Shkia. Yeah. So this is based on their understanding of the Rabbein Tam, that the Rabbein Tam holds there's a contradiction between two Gemaras. The Gemara in, we said over here, Gemara in Psochem later on Daf, where was the Gemara? On Daf Tzadik Gimel of Beis, I think. The Gemara makes the calculation of what is Derech Rechoika. So the Gemara presents it as if the Gemara has two versions. So one version is that Ben Tzeisa Kachavim is 5 mil. A mil is a distance, and a mil is an amount of time that it would take to walk that distance. So we said, the Mishnah Berurah, we says that a mil is 18 minutes. And Professor Levy, Leo Levy, pointed out that he quotes Achrayim and say that on our system, the 18 minutes really means 22 and a half minutes. Okay, so the Gemara says one version that Bein Hashmashes is the amount of time 5 mil after the Shkia, and the other version is 4 mil after the Shkia. So Rab Chaim used to be machma for 5 mil after the Shkia. You wait hours and hours, 5 mil after the Shkia. So maspik, if you're going to wait 4 mil, and the Gemara backs out from the 5 mil, the Gemara says the maskana really is that it's 4 mil after the Shkia. So that's the Gemara in the ninth parak Himsachim. Let's say Sakhavim is the amount of time, 4 mil, 4 times 22 and a half minutes. So how long is that? That's 45. That's an hour and a half. No, an hour and a half. So that's an hour and a half after the Shkia is Tesa Kochav. But there's a Gemara in the end of Bama Madlikin where the Gemara says that Ben Ashmashes is only Shlosha Rive mil, 3/4 of a mil. It's not 4 mil. So it's a contradiction between the two Gemaras. So this is the famous issue, the famous problem. So the two answers given by the Rishonim on this topic. So the Rabbi Natam, in the days of the Rishonim, many, many Rishonim, maybe most of the Rishonim, held like the Rabbi Natam. It's very surprising. The Rabbi Natam's answer is that says Kachavim is 4 mil after the Shkia. That's an hour and a half after the Shkia. However, Ben Ashmashes is not starting from Shkia till the end of the 4 mil. It's Vadayom for 3 1/4 mil. And then after 3 1/4 mil, then it becomes Ben Ashmashes for Shlosha Rive Shor, for Shlosha Rive Mil, for Shlosha Rive Mil. A mil is 22 and a half minutes, so 3/4 of 22 and a half minutes is Ben Ashmashes. Then it's going to be Tzeis Kachav. So that's why there are still some Hasidim who follow that version of the Rabbein Tam, that it's Vadayom, that says Kochavim is an hour and a half after the Shkia. Ben Ashmashes is only the last Shlosha Rivei Mil of that time. So for an hour after the Shkia is Vadayom. So that's what the Mordechai Gaon says. How can you say that? Hachush Makrish, you look outside, an hour after Shkia, the sky is full of stars. How can you say the din is, says Kochavim is Kochavim Benaniyim? Not Kachavim Gedolim and not Kachavim Ktanim. Kachavim Ktanim would take longer. Shlosha Kachavim Beinoniim. But if you look outside an hour after the Shkia, the sky is full of stars all over. That's what the Rambam the Gaon says, Hachush Makrish. It's impossible to hold like that. That's why I mentioned yesterday that Rabbi Gettinger, Zichron Lebracha, just passed away recently, published a sefer that he had written many years before, that he thinks that there was a misunderstanding of Rabbi Natam. He never said that, yeah. So I should have added yesterday the following, the Vilna Gaon there in Reish Samach Aleph, when the Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Shabbos talks about the Zman of Hadlokas Neiros Shabbos. So the Vilna Gaon quotes the Gemara in the end of Bamel Marikin. When you have Kerech HaVechod, when you only see one star, is Yom. When you have Shnei Kochavim, is Ben Ashmashes. When you have Shlosha Kochavim, is Tzeisa Kochavim. So it sounds like Kerech HaVechod, right after the Shkia, you don't see Kerech HaVechod, Kerech HaBeinoni. You may see a planet. The planets are those that don't flicker. I think the stars twinkle, and the planets are much bigger, I think, so closer to us, whatever it is. So those are perhaps what they call Kochavim Gedolim, are the planets. So Kochavim Gedolim that you see in the daytime, that doesn't count. So what do you mean Kochav Echad? That's late. That's not right after the Shkia. So the Vilna Gaon explains that statement in the Gemara, that Kochav Echad is Vadayom, Mishnei Kochavim is Menashmash, Shlosha Kochavim, Tzeis Kochavim. That's presenting Rabbi Yossi's opinion. Rabbi Yossi holds that the whole Ben Ashmash is only Keharafin. So it's Badayam, let's say, for the first 24 and a half minutes. And then you see Kochav Echad. Then 10 seconds later, you see Kochav Sheni. Then 10 seconds later, you see Kochav Shlishi. So the difference between Kochav Sheni, the difference between Kochav Echad, Kochav Sheni, Kochav Shlishi, the difference is always going to be hair of fine. So it's just going to be a few seconds, 10, 15 seconds, something like that. So that's Rabbi Yossi's opinion, that up until Kochav Echad is Vada Yom, the first 24 and a half minutes. Then you have Hera Fine is going to be Kochav Echad, Hera Fine is going to be Kochav Sheni, and then it's going to be Kochav Shlishi. So the whole Zman of Ben Hashmashes is only a Hera Fine. But he says, if you're Choshish, the Gemara says, you're Machma like Rabbi Yudah. Maybe it's a Speke Adina, maybe it's just a Chumra. The Gemara says, you should be a Machma like Rabbi Yudah. So according to Rabbi Yudah, Ben Hashmashes begins right after the Shkia. So he came to Melacha right away. That's the Balatanya and the Vilna Gaon. They both say the same. We mentioned yesterday that this Gemara later in Perek Chi'i, where was it? Yeah, on Tzadik Gimel on the base about the definition of Derech Rechoika. So this is Nageh Halacha Lamaisa also. We don't have a Beis Hamikdash. We don't have any Pesach Sheni. So how is the issue of Derech Rechoika relevant is Manan Zeh. So there is a din in Hilchas Avelus that if someone died and one of the relatives was not aware of it, and he comes to visit, someone comes to visit his parents. He comes into his parents' home. He lives in a different city. Years ago, they had no telephones. They had no telegraphs. So he comes to visit the parents, and he finds out that the family is sitting Shiva, that somebody died. Everybody's sitting Shiva. So the Gemara says la halacha that if he comes in the middle of Shiva, he didn't know at all before that the relative comes in the middle of Shiva. So wherever they're up to, he picks up from there. He doesn't have to observe 7 full days. Let's say they're already on the 6th day. There's one opinion that's only if he comes Gimel Yamim Harishayim. One opinion in Tanoim that the din only applies if he comes in the first 3 days of Shiva. The Gemara rejects that. We don't pass like that. We pass even if he comes on the 7th day. As long as Adain La Omdu HaMenachem Meyetzla, if they were ready Menachem Oval in the morning of the 7th day, and they said Miktus Hayam Kekula, and the Avelim got up, and they're not sitting Shiva anymore, so then the one who comes after that has to observe all the Shiva. He hears that a relative died. It's a Shmur Kreva. He finds out about it within Shloshim. If a person, Gemara, in the next daf himself is going to give the din, is a Machloikah Satanoim. What if a person finds out 2 months after the fact that a relative dies, he finds out later that this relative died? So if he finds out within 30 days of the death, that's called Shmur Kreva. If he finds out after 30 days after the death, then it's called Shmur Rechoika. So if it's a Shmur Rechoika, there's a Machloika Satanaim. We pass on Allah Shmur Rechoika, and in the Haggis Halo Yom Echad Bilvat. One doesn't observe Shiva or Shloshim. You only observe Avelus 1 day. And that 1 day you can chisel down and say, Miktsus Hayam Kekula. We'll get to the Gemara. It's coming up on the next daf. But if the person finds out in the middle of Shloshim, then he has to observe Shiva Shloshim. His Shiva is going to be after the whole family finished the Shiva already. He's going to begin Shiva. His Shloshim is going to end 2 weeks after their Shloshim. Let's say he finds out 2 weeks after the relative dies. He comes to town, or they send him a letter, or they call him on the phone 2 weeks later. He finds out later. So then he has to begin Shloshim. His Shloshim is going to end way after their Shloshim. They already started earlier. So the Gemara says that din, that if the Aval comes, one of the relatives comes, he didn't know about the death of the relative. He finds out when he comes to the base of Aval, where they say Shiva. So the Gemara says that only applies to Bomim Makam Karev. If Bomim Makam Rachaik, then Mayna Li Atzma. Then he counts his own Shiva and Shloshim. He doesn't become bottle. He doesn't join along with those who are sitting Shiva. So what's the definition of Bami Makam Rachid versus Bami Makam Karev? So Taisus has a little that's in Maitkatan in the third parak in Eile Megachim, the third parak in Maitkatan. So Taisus there quotes the Rif, who quotes the Ge'onim, Rav Haigoin, who says that it's based on this Gemara and Daf Tzadik Gimel Amud Beis, that the Pasuk and Chumash uses that expression. If a person is Tomei or Bederech Rechoika Lohaya, Bederech Rechoika. So what is the concept of Derech Rechoika? So there are different opinions in the Tanoim. And the Psak Halacha is, we said you draw a circle around Yerushalayim, and Modi'in is on the circumference of the circle. Modi'in is Tesvav Mil. away from Yerushalayim. Where did they get the gematria tesva of milk? What does it correspond to? So the pashtus in the Gemara is that Rashi and Tosfos learned the chiyuv to bring the korban pesach is chal at chatzos and erev pesach in the afternoon. You can't bring the korban pesach before chatzos. It says bein habayim shochta osok bein habayim. Bein habayim means after chatzos in the afternoon. You have shehecht it before shkiyah. So since the chiyuv, that's how the Rashi and Tosfos learned. The Rambam has a very different opinion. The Rambam says it's nikva at alos hashachar. Where is the person, the Chiyav Korban Pesach Chal Alos HaShachar, has to be able to arrive in Yerushalayim by foot from Zricha Alos HaShachar, I forgot already, till Chatzos. But the Rambam is complicated. But Rashi and Tosfos learn an easy pshat. That means the din of Korban Pesach is Chal, the Chiyav Korban Pesach Chal at Chatzos on Erev Pesach, and he has to be able to arrive in Yerushalayim by walking by foot from where he is now, at Chatzos before the Shkia, because he can't be makriv the Korban Pesach after the Shkia. So that's Tesvav Mil. So how do they come to this Tesvav Mil? Because Mahalach Adam Benini Bayom, a person can travel so much in the daytime by walking by foot. And however much he can travel, so before Chatzos doesn't count because the whole din of Korban Pesach doesn't begin until at Chatzos. So how far can he travel by foot from Chatzos till Shkia? So Chatzos till Shkia would be Tesvav Mil. But so in other words, the Shir Derech Kerova, Derech Rechoka means can he arrive within one day's travel? But over here for Korban Pesach purposes, the morning of before Chatzos, morning of Erev Pesach doesn't count because the din of Korban Pesach doesn't begin and after Shkia doesn't count. But a normal, and if you're judging any other area of Halacha, what other area of Halacha is there? On the level of, there's no other area of halacha. If you're judging on the level of the Rabbanan, there's a derech rechoka, derech kareva, by Avelus. If the person's bomim makam karev, bomim makam karev means he can arrive where he is, he can arrive within one day's traveling. So the din of Avelus applies all day long. It's no difference between before Chatzos, after Chatzos, or before HaNetzach Hama, or after the Shkia. So since Mahalach Adam Bein in the Bayom, as a parsa, as every parsa has 4 mil, so it depends on 10 times 4 mil. As a parsa, every parsa is 4 mil, so it's 40 mil. However, whatever distance a person can travel within one day's traveling, that's considered bami makam karev. So this din of determining what's a derech rechoka, what's derech kareva. On the level of the Raisa, it's relevant for Korban Pesach. On the level of the Rabbanan, we assume that all the Inyan HaVeilus are all Midrabbanan. So it's relevant for this din. If a relative came and he didn't know about the death of his relative till he comes to the Beis Avon, and he comes in the middle of sitting Shiva, he chisels off the first couple of days, just picks up where they are. So that then only applies to Bomi Makam Korb. So the Nadi Yehuda lived in the 1700s. So the Talmidim of the Nadi Yehuda had a big machlokes that why does this din depend on traveling by foot? The Gemara says beferish, he can come by horseback. In the days of the Gemara, some people travel by horseback, some people travel by camel. So if he's going to travel by camel, he's going to get there in much less he's going to get there in less than a half a day. So why does it depend on walking by foot? So that was a big machloek his Talmidim of the Rebbe Yehuda had. One of his Talmidim is the Tshuva Me'ahava. That's the name of his Shabbos Tshuva safe. So he discusses it. And the others also had it. Is it that because the rave of the people, Bizman Bayusheni, when these Mishnayos were probably written down, when they were formulated, they weren't written down yet, when the Dinim were formulated, is it because at that time, that was the common practice that roiv of the people would travel by foot? So then Bizman Hazeh, that they have trains, and Bizman Hazeh, you have planes. So people can travel much further within a half a day's traveling from Chatzos till Shkia. You can go much, much further than Tesvav Mil. You go by car, you can go faster. Or should we assume, no, that Kach Ne'emar Halacha L'Moshe M'Sina, that it's a Tesvav Mil. That's the shear. That's the halacha. So it's nogeh to the lasid lover. When we'll rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, it'll be a shayla. what's the din for Korban Pesach? Does it depend on a half a day's traveling by what is considered the normal way of traveling, by plane or by automobile? Most people will travel by plane. People are going to come from America. They can't go by automobile. So maybe it should depend on plane. Or maybe not. It should depend on walking by foot. Maybe kafnei mahaloch. So the poskim say, no, when the third Beis HaMikdash will be built, the stam of Moshe Rabbeinu will come back from the dead, and we'll ask him what the din is. What's the halacha of derech rechoika by Korban Pesach? But what's the psak meanwhile, before Tchias HaMeisim, b'negiyah Tavelis? Does it depend on traveling by foot? So it's Esa Parsois. That's what Tesis quotes from the Rif, B'Shem Rav Haigoin. Or should we say no, that today we're Mekel. So whenever there's, the Gemara has a klal, whenever there's a Safik in Hilchas Avelos, we always go Lekula. Not only because all of the laws of Avelos are all Midrabbanan. Even if one were, the Ramban has a lot on Hilchas Avelos. Ramban wrote a Sefer Torah Sodom. Ramban was a doctor, and he wrote a Sefer Torah Sodom where he collects all of the Gemaras about how to treat a baby when the baby is born, how to treat the mother before she has the baby, what you're allowed to do on Shabbos, what you're not allowed to do when you deliver a baby, and then what do you do when the baby gets sick later in life, when are you allowed to treat the patient, when you're not allowed to treat the patient, a lot about Shabbos, and then what if you're not successful and the patient dies, has all the dinim of Avelos there, and a lot of Shulchan Aruch is based on the Ramban and the Sefer Torah Sa'odim, Sefer Torah Sa'odim. So the Ramban in the Torah Sa'odim quotes a Tosfos in Erevin, which we have. Tosfos quotes a Tshuvas HaGaonim. The Gaonim, many of the Gaonim were of the opinion that Avelos Yom Rishon is their Isa. The Gemara says that Avelos Shiva is only Midrabban. It means the last 6 days of Shiva. But the first day of Shiva, if it's the Yom HaMisa V'Hakvura, if the person was buried the same day that he died, usually that doesn't happen. Usually when a person dies one day, so they have to call up all the relatives, they have to come from Arba Kamfas Ha'aretz and notify all the people in the community. So usually the funeral is not going to be on the same day. But if it's the Yom HaMisa V'Hakvura, so then the Goenim's opinion was that then the Mechaber Paschim like this, then Avelos Yom Rishon is their ice. So Tosfos quotes Tosfos in Erevin. There's one daf in Erevin, the Gemara gives you the Ptak Halacha. Whenever there's a machlokes, Rab Meir, Rab Yudah, how do you pass? Whenever machlokes, Rab Yudah, Rab Yosi, how do you pass? Whenever machlokes, Amaroyim, and Tanoim, Rab Shmuel, how do you pass? So on that daf, Tosfos says, and whenever there's a Shailah in Hilchas Avelos, not only a suffix in effect, but a suffix in halacha, so you always go to Hakel. So Tosfos quotes the Tshuvas HaGaonim. It's not because Avelos is their Rabbanon and suffix the Rabbanon Lekula. No, even if Avelos and Rishon were their Isa, Ashkenazim don't hold like that. Ashkenazim follow the Shitas Arosh and Baal Ha'Tos, that all Avelos is only the Rabbanon. Even Avelos and Rishon is only the Rabbanon. But the Sfardim follow the Mechaber, who follows the Ramam and the Rif and the Gaonim, that Avelos and Rishon is their Isa. So even so, you still say that Sofik Avelos Lekula and Halachik Devar Mekal Bavel. Whenever there's a Machloikas, you have a right to go Lekula. So that's usually assumed to be the psak today. So when the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, and we'll have to ask Moshe Rabbeinu, what's the definition of derech rechoika? I don't know. So maybe Moshe Rabbeinu will say that it depends on walking by foot. We don't know what he's going to say. We'll find out. But meanwhile, what do we do until Moshe Rabbeinu comes back from the dead? What do we do? What do we do with respect to the din of Bami Mokam Kora, Bami Mokam Rochek? So we go to Kula. Whenever there's a Shaila in Hilchas Avelos, we go to Kula, even if one would have assumed that Avelos and Rishon is their Isa. So Rav Moshe Feinstein raised an issue. Now that they have jet planes, it's possible whoever travels a long distance always goes by jet. Nobody goes by boat. Everybody goes by plane. Ruba de Ruba go by plane. So there's no location in the world that you can't arrive within one day's travel. Even if you're in Australia or New Zealand or whatever the furthest place from New York happens to be on the other side of the globe, you can reach within one day's travel. In the days of the Gemara, the Yonah used to travel in the daytime. Today, people travel by Yom or Balayla, whenever the planes travel. jet planes travel in the daytime and the nighttime. So if you can arrive within one day's travel, so the whole world is Bobby Makam Karev. So Moshe said, so you did away with the Parsha and the Chumash. There's an institution in the Torah that if a person is B'makam Rachaik, even if he sent a message in advance, I'm going to come and have a private jet. I'm going to come from New York to Eretz Yisrael the last minute on Er Pesach. Make sure you bring a Karban Pesach. Me, my wife, and my children, we want to have our own Karban Pesach. And it's Lemenuya with the Memunim on the Karban Pesach. So the Gemara says, even B'di'evit, you're not Yotze. If you are at the time of Chatzos, if you are B'makam Rachaik, so you can't be Yotze with the Shechitas HaPesach that was brought on your behalf. It's not just the Kulit. If you want to, you can bring Pesach Sheni. Even if you want to bring Pesach Rishon, you can't. So Moshe had the taina that you can't do away with an institution in the Chumash. Torah says that there is an institution in Malkam Rachik. So you're going to say that now that there are jet planes and the Minika Olam is that people who travel a long distance go by jet. So there's no longer going to be a possibility of a Malkam Rachik. So he assumed it can't be. Interesting assumption. It can't be such a thing. So Moshe assumed that it has to be at least on the same continent. So that's where Moshe didn't hold from this whole story that if the family sitting Shiva here and they sent one of the children to Eretz Yisrael to take care of the Kvura, then the child comes back and then the family who left behind is in the middle of Shiva, the third day of Shiva or something. So then he's my name, mine. He counts with them and he chisels off the list. So Moshe held that it's wrong. He held that the United States is a different continent from Eretz Yisrael. So he held that it cannot be. It cannot be. Others say it cannot be for a different reason. The Maharam Shik has an interesting tshuva that a person, they had no telephone. So a person went lived in a different city. He went to visit his parents. So he gets off at the trains. They had trains. There was an advanced time. Maharam Shik was a Talmud of the Chasam Soifer. So he lived the late 1800s. So the person got off at the train station and he's going to walk to his parents' home. And then they say, oh, he came to sit Shiva. He said, what Shiva, when Shiva? He said, your mother just died. So he didn't know. So then he comes home and lo and behold, the family is sitting Shiva because the mother died. So the Maharam Shik holds that this din of my name, I'm, doesn't apply. Even though he came in Makam Karev, he lived just a few miles away in a little village. He said the din, he claims the din only applies if he was notified of the death of a relative in the Beis HaOvel. But since he was notified in the train station on his way to the Beis HaOvel, so the whole din doesn't apply. So usually today, everybody knows right away. Everybody has a telephone. And they notify them right away that the relative does. So according to the Maharam Shik, this whole din of my name, Mohim, doesn't apply. It only applies when the person's awareness of the death of the relative took place in the Beis HaOvel. But if he became aware previously, he had a Yediyah Saveilus before, so the whole din doesn't apply. Okay, so that's that din of Derech Rechoika is relevant. B'zman Hazeh, the Rif quotes the Rav Haigon in Perek Yehle Megalchen, and the Tosis quotes it. There's a three-line Tosis there, and the Gemara Perek Yehle Megalchen. The Tosis quotes this from the Rav Haigon found in the Rif.
Ready?
Yes.
Why would the Gemara put the cap between from Chatzos to Shkia? If you could eat the Korban Pesach all the way through the night, so if the Zman, just because the Zman Chiyuv begins, the Korban begins then, can you make it in time just to eat it?
No, you have to be able to arrive in Yerushalayim before the Zman HaShchita. You can't shecht any Korban is after the Shkia. The Korban Pesach is an exception to the rule. Normally, 353 days of the year, you have to bring korbanos after Tamash HaShachar, before Tamash HaBein HaBayim. Sandwiched in between the two Tamidim. Erev Pesach is the one exception to the rule that you bring the Korban Pesach dafke after the Tamash HaBein HaBayim, but you can't bring it after the Shkia. You can't bring any korbanos after the Shkia. So the Gemara says that that's the definition of Derech Rechoika, the way Rashi and Tosfos learn. It's determined at Chatzos when the Chiyuv to bring Korban Pesach is Chal. They learn the Chiyuv is not Chal in the morning because you can't bring it in the morning. The Rambam has everything different. So Rashi and Tosfos say it's established, it's determined at Chatzos, where is he? If he's able to arrive in Yerushalayim by walking by foot, by going by camel and by horseback, he will arrive, be able to arrive. Can he arrive by walking by foot before the Shkia when it's still the Zman of Shechitas HaPesach? I don't know how they figured that out from the psukim, but that's the logic behind it is that, you know. Then on the top of base on the base, the Gemara has a din of Baba Machteris. Taisa just quotes what the din is. The din is a pasuk in parsha, two psukim in parshas mishpatim, that if a person is a roidefach achaver lehargoi, so then it's nitan hatzila ben apshet. People are usually there's an isa lo sirtzach, you're not allowed to kill someone. But if someone is roidef achaver lehargoi, so it's permissible to save the nirda by killing the roidef. You're permitted to kill a roidef in order to save the nirdaf. So then the Chumash has an additional din. What if someone is digging a machteres under my home in the middle of the night, let's say? He's digging a tunnel under my home, let's say the Palestinians. They dig tunnels under homes in Eretz Yisrael in order to make bombs, in order to kill Jews. So someone is Baba Machteres, even a Jewish person is Baba Machteres to steal from someone else. So we assume that he is aware of the fact that the owner of the owner of the house may realize that he's angling to steal his property, and he may try to defend his owning his property, and he may fight with the ganef. So the ganef probably is armed and the ganef is prepared to kill the balabais. So the owner of the property has the right to make him into a roidef. He doesn't have to sit back and let the ganef steal his property. He has a right to defend his property, and he can make the ganef into a roidef. And then the mela, Baba Machteres, is nitan hatzila ben apsha. We're permitted to kill the Baba Machteres in order to save the life of the nirdaf. We consider the Bab Machteres as a roidef. So the pasuk says, "Mzorch Hashem Mishalov, domim lo." If he's Bab Machteres, ain't lo domim. Mzorch Hashem Mishalov, domim lo. So what does that mean? If it's clear like this, like the bright sun shining in the sky, it's as clear as daylight that the Bab Machteres is not bo aliske nefashes. It's very clear that he's not coming. He doesn't have a half a minute to kill the owner of the house. Even if he's going to fight with him, he's not going to kill him. So then you're not allowed to kill. Then he's not considered a roidef. Then you're not allowed to kill him. So what does it mean if it's clear like the daylight? So Tosis quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara assumes that the love that parents have for the children exceeds the love that the children have for the parents. The parents have such love for the children that they will never kill the child. The child doesn't have such love for their parents. The child may sometimes be a Baba Machteres to steal from the father, and the child will be prepared to kill his parent in order to steal, if he's interested in stealing his money. But the parent, it's highly improbable, highly unlikely that the parent would be prepared to kill his son. So the pasuk says, if in Zoch Hashem Sholef, if it's clear like the day, that the Baba Machteres is not Boalis Kenefoshes, he's not a roidef, then you're not allowed to kill him. So that's if it's a Oval Abein. But if it's a Bein Haloav, then it's the same as anybody else, that we assume that the Baba Machteres is prepared, if need be, in order to pull off the Geneva, if need be, he is prepared to kill the owner of the house, the Balabais, and therefore he has a din of a Reidef, and it's a Nitan Hatzila Ben Apsha. So it's just, okay, so the Tashi just quotes the Gemara, and they explain that's what our Gemara is talking about. The Gemara quoted a Pasuk from Yov, I think. A Pasuk from Yov, yeah. When the Bob Machteres has a din of a ganef, when he has a din of a retzeach, when do we consider him like a roidef achachaber lahargoi? So it's interesting, just the lashon of the psukim in Parshas Mishpatim. It says, if the fellow is Bob Machteres, ein lo damim. Im zoch Hashem shalav, if it's clear like the sun and the sky, clear like the daylight, so it's not boalis kenefashes, then damim lo. How do you translate damim lo, ein lo damim? So there's a sefer called the Aderes Elio, written by Talmidim of the Gra. Most of the things that we have in the name of the Vilna Gemara are written by Talmidim. Most of them are not written. The Bira Gra and Shulchan Aruch and the Bira Gra and Kabbalah, those were written by the Gra himself. But all the things in Halacha and Tanakh and everything, these are all written by Talmidim. So they quote the Talmidim HaGra, quote in the Aderes Elio, that the Psukim should be understood as follows. When is a person alive and when is a person considered dead? So it's a big question in our generation. How do you determine the moment of death, whether the halacha recognizes brain death or not? So the simple reading of the pasuk is that calls man that the blood is still circulating, damim lo, calls man that his blood is circulating, the person is considered alive. When his blood circulation has stopped, then he's considered dead. And that's what Tosfos writes in Masechta Shabbos and Exubis and in other Masechtas, Sanhedrin. A few places Tosfos writes it. The Gemara says that there are 39 malachas on Shabbos, and the Gemara says that a chayvel, if you cause bleeding of a human being or you cause bleeding of an animal, you take blood from a person, from an animal, that's malacha. What malacha is it, a chovel? There are 39 malachas. Chovel is not one of the 39. So which malacha is it? So it's a big machlokes of Rishonim. Rashi holds that it's tzoveya because you cause a black and blue mark, and the Rambam holds that it's dosh. Like if you squeeze out juice from a fruit, that's a malacha of dosh. You're separating the oichel from the mashke. Dosh is usually a separate, you're detaching oichel from tzoveya. So you're detaching oichel from mashke. So that's a malacha. So if you take out the blood from an organism, from an animal, you're detaching the blood from the rest of the body. So Tosfos' opinion is the accepted opinion because the Achronim say that's what it says in the Talmud Yerushalmi, like Tosfos. Tosfos says that HaChoylo B'Chaver is in violation of Netilas Neshama. What do you mean Netilas Neshama? Netilas Neshama means if you kill an animal. So Tosfos quotes the pasuk Ki Hadam Hu HaNefesh, that you're not allowed to eat dam because the dam, the blood circulation, keeps the animal alive. It's interesting that Tosfos learns that that's pshat in the Chumash. That's what it says in the Chumash, Ki Adam HaNefesh. In the world of medicine, they didn't know about blood circulation till way after the days of Tanakh, way after the days of the Baalei HaTosfos. But that's how Tosfos learns pshat in the Psukim, Ki Adam HaNefesh. The blood circulation supplies oxygen to all of the cells of the body, and that's what keeps the person or the animal alive. So that's what the Talmidei HaGra quote in the name of the Vilna Gaon. If someone is Baba Machteres and we consider him a Raidef, and it's Nitanatzila ben Abshe, so the Pasuk says, Ein lo damim. We consider the Baba Machteres as if he's a person, he's alive, he has his blood circulating, we consider him as if Ein lo damim, we consider him as if he's a Gabrik Tila, and it's Muta Lahargai, as if he doesn't have blood circulating in his blood system. But if he's Zoch Hashem Shalav, if it's clear like the daylights that he's not Bo'aliskin Vash Aval Abayin, it's clear that he's not coming to kill the Balabayas. So then we say, damim lo, we consider him like a regular human being, that he has blood circulating in his system. And therefore, there's an Issa Ritzicha. He's considered a Gavrik Tila if the blood is not circulating in his system. So the Pashto says that that's the definition of life and death. When the blood is circulating, then the Balchai is alive. When the blood is not circulating, then the Balchai is not alive. That's based on the Psukim and Chumash.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Why do we need another pasuk from Eov if we could probably learn it out from the Pesukim and Mishpatim already?
Yeah, you learn it out from the Pesukim and Mishpatim. Yeah, you don't need the pasuk in Eov. Then why don't you ask part of the pasuk in Eov about the ascertaining what the word or, what the or means Yom Alayla. Why do you need anything in Eov? Yeah, I don't know. The Gemara in Megillah says that any important idea that appears in the Nevi'im Uksuvim already appears in the Chumash. There are no new insights that appear in the Nevi'im Uksuvim that don't appear around here in Chumash. So what do you need the whole Nevi'im Uksuvim for? I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. It's a very good question.
Rabbi.
Yes.
According to Tosfos, which malacha is Netilas Neshama? That's an independent malacha?
Shochet. Shochet means Netilas Neshama. And even though a person is alive, he's just took out a little blood. So Tosfos uses an expression, mali kotla kula, mali kotla palga. It doesn't make a difference whether you kill the whole organism or you took out some of the blood. You killed the blood because the blood is what ki adam ha'nevesh, the blood circulation is what keeps the organism alive. That's an expression, mali kotla kula, mali kotla palga is an expression that appears in Maseches Nida in this context. It appears also in Bava Kamma, in Perek Merubah, in a different context. Tosfos is not alluding to Bava Kamma. They're alluding to Gemara Nida. The Gemara there talks about this kind of a context. Malikot Lekula, Malikot Lepalga. Yeah, then there's an important Machlekes Rashi and Tosfos here. The Perek Mokam Shenogu, there is a Perek Mokam Shenogu. Here it is, Perek Revi. So it says that there were different minhagi hamakaymus, whether you're permitted to do malacha on Erev Pesach. Welcome Shinoga Lassus Malacha Babri Psachimat Khatsa says Malcolm Shinoga Shalal Lassus Malacha Enos. It sounds from the mission that depends on the Minhag HaMakom. There are dinim that are binding in the Torah, then there are dinim that are binding in the Rabbanim, then a dinim that are binding in the Minhag. There are different kinds of minhagim. Sometimes there's a minhag yachid. This person has a minhag, he says two prokim mishnayos every morning before he starts Shabbos. A personal private minhag, it's not a minhag HaMakom, it's not a minhag HaMishpacha. Sometimes you have a minhag HaMishpacha. The Gemara says, in Makom Shenoga, the Gemara says there was a certain family that on Erev Shabbos, after Chatzos, they closed their shops. They wouldn't travel anywhere, they wouldn't do any work. So that minhag HaMishpacha is binding on all the future generations as well. Question is, how many generations do you have that they should have observed this minhag? Not to do any work on Erev Shabbos after Chatzos, it should be established as a minhag HaMishpacha. One generation? 20 generations? That's a question. Okay. And then there's a minhag HaMakom. A whole community has a minhag. Then there's a minhag HaPoshet, a minhag that spread among all of Klal Yisrael. So the Gemara says in the Dorim and Apta Zvav that minhagim are binding with the Rabbanon mitam neder. It's not binding minhater mitam neder. A neder minhater is nefesh kisishova levati bisvasayim. Whether a neder or a shvua, you have to pronounce it with your lips. If you don't pronounce it with your lips, then it's not binding. But the Gemara says if a person or a person has a personal minig, dvar hamator macherem noga behem misa, something v'ikaret din is muta. But a private, an individual has a minig lahachmer on it, or a community has a minig lahachmer. So then the Gemara says a yatar asher lahatir mifneim, because it's layachol devora. So the Gemara says it's only layachol mid the rabbanon. It's not layachol min haTorah. In order to be bal yachol min haTorah, you have to have nefesh kisin shava levat tibisasam. You have to pronounce it with your lips. With your lips, if you just observe the minig, min haTorah, it's not binding. It's considered a neder mid the rabbanon. What kind of a din is that? It's binding mid the rabbanon mitam neder. So the pashtus is the following. The Gemara says that there are two exceptions to the rule of hafloya. You know, the Rambam wrote a sefer that's called Mishneh Torah, and we call it by its nickname, the Yad HaChazaka. Why do we call it Yad HaChazaka? Because there are 14 svarim. Yud Dalet is 14. Ma'ada Habaz Manim, Kedusha, I forgot, Ishus, Mishpatim, Shoftim, Avoida, Karbonis. Altogether, there are 14 svarim in the Rambam. That's the Yad HaChazaka. So one of the svarim in the Yad HaChazaka is sefer HaFloah. What is Aflo? Nefesh kisishava has to say. Isha Isha kiafli linda neda nozer lahazel Hashem. Yafli means yifarish bisvosav. He will pronounce with his lips. So Aflo means inyone dibur. When something is chal aide dibur. When is it chal? So the Rambam and Hilchas in the section of Aflo in the Sefer, one of the 14 svarim in the Yad HaChazaka, he has the dorim Hilchas Shvuas, the dorim Naziris, Erchem Acharamin, Hegdeshes, all these things. Afrashas Truma is also, but he has Afrashas Truma in a different sefer. So Afrashas Truma is also Chal, Aide Kri Hashem. So these are all called in Yoni HaFloa. What do they have in common? That even a Mufla, Samach Liyishiyib, before Bar Mitzvah also, if he takes a neder, it's binding. It's a question in the Gemara, whether the Machlokes, the Rambam, and the Raibit had a Paskin, Machlokes in the Gemara, whether the din of Mufla, Samach Liyishiyib, before Bar Mitzvah, then the Dorma binding. Is that a din men HaTorah, or is that only a din men HaRabbanan? But even if it's only a din with the Rabbanon, because the Rambam and the Rabbi Halacha Lemaisa had a task, and even if it was only a din with the Rabbanon, it's based on an idea, their Raisa, that on the level of their Raisa, you don't need the same high level of das for hafloah that you need for mekach and memkar. In order to sell it to buy, you need a higher level of das. A year before Bar Mitzvah, the mechira is not chal. But a year before Bar Mitzvah, maybe is enough das on the level of their Raisa, even to make the neder the shvuah binding. Where if you hold the mufla samach, who's only the rabbanon, so where did the chachamim see on the level of the raisa? You don't need such a high level of das. So the pashtus says they saw it from the fact that there's an institution of hataras nedarim. A person comes to the chacham. Let's say a fellow buys a house. He buys a house because it's an investment. He thinks that real estate is going to go up. He lives in a different place and he buys a house as an investment. In a different place. Then lo and behold, it goes down. the value of real estate goes down. There's some kind of a pandemic, and everything goes down. So can you go to a bezin and say, I didn't realize that the value of the real estate is going to go down. If I would have realized, I would never have bought the house. And they say, mutalach, mutalach, mutalach. We declare that your purchasing of the house was betoyus. So you can't undo mekar chamemka. If a person took a neder or a shvua, and then he says, I made a mistake. I didn't realize what I'm getting myself into. If I would have realized, he took, let's say, a neder or a shvua not to attend his mother-in-law's 95th birthday party. The mother-in-law cut him out of her will. She doesn't want to have anything to do with him. Her son-in-law doesn't come to her birthday party. So she's never going to forgive him. So he goes to a bezin and says, if I would realize how angry my mother-in-law is going to get, they would never have made the neder. So the bezin says, mutalach, mutalach, mutalach. The neder was made betoyus. So you can't say that, let's say, a guy marries a witch and he suffers. And then he says, oh, he goes to a bezin. If I would have realized what a witch she was, people were warning me in advance. I didn't realize it's really true. Whenever I married her, so you're going to say, mutalach, mutalach, mutalach. He doesn't even need a get. You don't declare that it's a kiddush etoyes. You don't declare it's a kiddush etoyes like that. This is special of din by Nedarim, because Nedarim don't need such a high level of das. So since the level of das that you need is slightly lower than mekar umemkar, so it can be knocked off much more easily. So the bezin can make a hataras and dorm and declare that the neder is a neder betoyes. And when the bezin is mata the neder, it's oikar neder meikara. Comes out the neder was never chal in the first place, because the neder betoyes is simply not chal. Yes. So the chachamim saw that there were different levels of das. The das aflo is a lower level of das, and das mekir chamemker is a higher level of das. Das kitni kedushin is even a higher level of das than that. So the din is that by Hafrashas Truma, the Gemara quotes a pasuk in the end of Parshas Korach. By Hafrashas Truma, it says the farmer has to set aside two. Let's say the farmer has 100 bushels of grain grew in Eretz Yisrael on his farm. So he sets aside 2%, two bushels out of 100 is 2% for Truma, and then he sets aside 10% of what's left. He sets aside for Maaser Rishon. So what's left is 98 bushels. So he sets aside 9.8% as Maaser Rishon. Then you have to take out, then what do you have left after you took away 2%? You have 98. After you took out 9.8, you have to count arithmetic. Okay. And then you have to take off 10% of what's left after that and give it as Maaser Sheni. This is a Maaser Sheni year, I think next year. This is the fifth year of the Shemitah cycle. When it comes to Rosh Hashanah, it's going to be the sixth year. It's going to be Maisa Oni year, Pei Aleph, and Shnas Topshin Pei Beis. It's going to be Shemitah again. You haven't had Shemitah in quite a few, in 5 years. Okay. So you take off Maisa Sheni, 10% what's left, after you took off the Maisa Rishon. So then the Chumash says in the end of Parshas Korach, when you give the Maisa Rishon to the Levi, the 9.8% that you give to the Levi, the lady has to take out 10% of that and give it as Maisa Menha Maisa. That's called Trumas Maisa. Then the Pasuk has a line, V'nechshar lechem Trumas Chem. When the Levim give the Trumas Maisa to the Kohanim, V'nechshar lechem Trumas Chem, Kadogan min Agorin, Chamlea min Ayekev. The Trumas Maisa that the Levim will be mafresh from the Maisa Rishon, give to the Kohanim, has the exact same din as Truma Gedoyla. What is the exact same din? It's Osa Lazar. And if Zar eats Truma, the punishment is Visavadei Shamayim. So the Mishnah has in Me'ila that there were four things that have the exact same thing as Truma. One is Truma. One is Maisa Mena Maisa. That's what we call Truma's Maisa. One is Chala. And one is Bikurim. All four have the exact same thing of Truma. They were all called Truma and Chumash. It's all Shem Echot. The din is that in order for a person to get Malkus for eating non-kosher food, there's a machlekes hatanoim in the Mishnah and Makkos and the third perek elahein aloikin. So we paskin, you only get Malkus if you ate a kazayis of non-kosher food. If you eat less than a kazayis, we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, chatzishir is awesome in our Torah, but there's no Malkus. There's one tan Reb Shimon, Shimon Baichoy, in the Mishnah and Makkos of the opinion, kol shuhula Malkus. You get Malkus even if you eat bemezid, even if you eat less than a kazayis. Lo amu kazayis, elin yin chatas bilvad. That if you ate chela bedam, b'shoigeg, since if you ate chela b'dam amazed, you chayv koras. If you eat it b'shoigeg, you chayv chatas. So in order to be chayv chatas, it only applies if you ate a whole kazayis. If you ate less than a kazayis, then you won't be chayv chatas. But if you ate the chela b'dam amazed, even if you eat less than a gazayis, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai's opinion is that kol shehu l'malkus, and we don't pass them like that. We pass them in order to get malkus, you have to eat a gazayis. So what if you ate a half a gazayis of chazer and a half a gazayis of basa b'cholov? So that's a further machloikas satan, whether he's surim mitzdarfim zeim zeh. At the end of the day, he ate a full gazayis of non-kosher food, but he didn't eat a gazayis of one iser. He ate a half a gazayis of basa b'cholov and half a gazayis of nevela. So we pass on, they're not mitzdarfim zeim zeh. So the Mishnah says in Me'ilah, if a person is not a kohen and he eats a kazayis of truma that consists of a quarter kazayis of truma, a quarter kazayis of chalo, a quarter kazayis of bikurim, and a quarter kazayis of maisa mena maisa, of truma's maisa. So all four are shem echod. They're all called truma in the chumash. So the pasuk, that's what the pasuk says. When achshal lechem truma aschem, when the levim get the maisa rishon, they're mafresh maisa mena maisa. That's called truma's maisa. So the trumas ma'aser that the lady gives to the kohen has zechoshul kemo. It's considered just exactly the same as kadogan min agor mechamleya min ayekev. It has the exact same din like the trumas gdola that the farmer was mafrish before he was mafrish the ma'aser sheni. The Gemara learns that from sukkim. The Gemara in the beginning of Tmura learns that from sukkim. You have to be mafrish to have rushes in the correct order. So first you're supposed to be mafrish trumas gdola. Then you mafrish maisa rishon. Only then are you mafrish maisa mina maisa. So the maisa mina maisa that the lady is mafrish and gives to the kohen is considered just like the truma gedola that the farmer was mafrish before he started all the hafrashes. So the simple pshat and the pasuk pshuto shal mikro ein amikri etzim le pshuto. Simple pshat and the pasuk is menechshu lechem trumas chem, the trumas maisa that the that the Levi is mafresh, and he's going to give it to the Kohen, has the exact same status, kadoga menagur. Benechsha means echashuv kemoze. It has the same status. And the Torah Shebal Peh has an additional level of interpretation in the pasuk that truma nitelus b'machshova. If the Levi has, let's say, 9.8 bushels of maaser rishon, and he has in mind, he wants to give 0.98. He wants to give 1/10. He has 9.8 bushels, so 0.98 is going to be 1/10. So he has 0.98 and he's going to give it to the coin. And he never says, I raise a truma l'Hashem alakol. He has in mind that this should be trumas maisa. So the Gemara understands an additional level of interpretation. The pshuto shal mikro v'nechshon means zechashuv kemo zeh, that the trumas maisa has the exact same status like truma gedoyla. But the Torah Shebal Peh understands an additional level of interpretation that the Levi has the ability to be mafrish maisa mena maisa b'machshava. Truma nitelus b'machshava. And we assume the same is true regarding truma gedoyla. So that's an exception to the rule. Then the Gemara says the rule is all in yon hafala nid amira. It says nefesh ki sushova levate bisvasayim. That's in Parshas Vayikra, Chumash Vayikra. That the shvuah is only chal if you say b'peh. And most of the Rishonim assume who are denami are neder, and neder and shvuah are in yoni hafloa. So hafloa is only ishu ishu ki yafli linda neder nozel hazah. Yafli means the farish bisvosov, to pronounce it with his lips. And if you take a neder belev or a shvuah belev, it's not binding. But there are a few exceptions to the rule. So one inyan hafloa that's chal b'machshove is hafrashas truma, is chal b'machshove. And another one is hegdish, because the Gemara Shavuos and Daf Chavav and Mebeis has this statement: Omar Shavu Gama Belivoy Zoch Lahotzi Bisvasov. If a person made up his mind that he's taking a neder or taking a shvu, he has to pronounce it with his lips. Calls money doesn't say it; it's not going to be binding. So the Gemara says one exception to the rule is truma. Truma is an inyan of hafloa and it's chal belev. The other inyan is hakdoshas karbonis. Because the pasuk in Divrei Yom says, "Kol nediv leiv oiloi seviu." Whoever had been menadei belibo, whoever took a neder in his heart to bring a korban oilo, brought the korbanis to the Beis Hamikdash. And Mar said, "You see from the pasuk that hegdish is chal b'machshava." So in Shulchan Aruch we assume that there's a machloek. So what about tzedakah? Let's say they make an appeal in shul, and I make up my mind I'm going to give $1,000. Then by the time it's Shabbat, they made an appeal on Shabbos and Yontif. Then by the time Shabbos and Yontif is over, I calm down. And I decide I'll give $18 instead of giving $1,000. I change my mind. So the din is that you can't back out. That's a machlokes. So we passed on that that tzedakah is chal b'leiv. That's in Shulchan Aruch, both in Yeridei Hilchas tzedakah and the Chosh Mishpat. It says that if a person accepted b'leiv on obligation to give money to tzedakah, it's binding. So we assume that there are two parshias of Nedarim in the Torah. There's one parsha in Parshas Matos, talks about the Nidri Harishus. Then there's another parsha in this week's Seder, in Parshas Kiseitze, which speaks about Nidri Gavah. Person takes a neder to bring a korban to the Beis HaMikdash. A person takes a neder, not to go to someone's bar mitzvah, takes a neder not to go to someone's birthday party. He takes the neder to donate money to tzedakah, to give a korban to the Beis HaMikdash. So these are two different parshias, Nidri Harishus and Nidri Gavoa. The Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs goes with the policy. The Rambam in the beginning of the Sefer HaMitzvahs lists off the 14 guiding principles. The one who translated the Sefer HaMitzvah was originally written in Arabic. And those of us who don't know Arabic use the Hebrew translation. So the first one who translated into from Arabic, he translated into Hebrew. He used a very irregular Hebrew. It's not the way we would write today. That's why in recent years, Rabbi Kapach wrote a different translation and others wrote the even more modern Hebrew, easier to read. So in the old translation, in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, he refers to the 14 guiding principles. The first half of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam lists off the 14 guiding principles that determine whether any given mitzvah belongs to the Sefer HaMitzvahs or not. So the one who translated it, Ibn Tibbon, I think, he calls it Yud Dalet Sharoshim. He could have called it Yud Dalet Ikorim, or Yud Dalet Klolim, but he called it Sharoshim. Okay, so we're stuck with that, Yud Dalet Sharoshim. So the Rambam has one of his Sharoshim is that if the same mitzvah is repeated several times in the Chumash, you don't count it many times. A Kefal HaMitzvah only counted once. Why is it repeated? For emphasis. So let's say the mitzvah to wear tefillin appears in four different parshas in the Torah, Kadesh V'yakir Yacha, Shema V'Yayim Shamaya. So the Rambam counts tefillin shel yad, tefillin shel rosh as two different mitzvahs. He gives you a whole explanation why. Other Rishonim hold tefillin shel yad, tefillin shel rosh are one mitzvah, two parts to the same mitzvah. The Rambam gives you a whole explanation why he thinks that they should be counted as two mitzvahs, because neither is ma'akiv the other. If you only have a shal yad, you put on the shal yad. If you only have a shal rosh, you put on the shal rosh. So the Rambam thinks that that's a klal. Whenever the different parts are not ma'akiv zeh, that's a similar dabba, that the different mitzvahs. Let's say when you have lulav and esrog, hadasim and arav, as the Mishnah says, dalim inshe b'lulav ma'akiv zeh. So he thinks that counts as one mitzvah. That's not four different mitzvahs. That's one mitzvah. So the Rambam says you only got tefillin shel yad as one mitzvah and tefillin shel rosh as one mitzvah, even though it appears in four different parashos, it's written four different times. You only count it once. A dam, the prohibition against eating dam, appears in the Chumash quite a few times. The Gemara discusses why does it appear so many times. The Rambam says you only count it once. It's repeated for emphasis, or it's repeated to teach him more details of the halacha. But whenever you have a kef on the mitzvah, only count it once. So the Rambam writes based on his idea that it says in Parshas Matos that if a person takes a neder of shvua, it's binding. And in today's Seder in Parshas Kiseitz, it says again, Kiseitz, so it's the same thing. So the Rambam says it's the same thing. So you don't count it as two mitzvahs. It's just a kefal mitzvah. It's repeated. You only count it once. So the Ramban and the Sefer mitzvahs, it could be, I seem to remember, I think this mitzvah says it's tzadikei, when you take a look. So the Ramban has a long attack against the Rambam. He says he thinks that this is a mistake. It's not a kefal mitzvah. He says that two different parshias. In Parshas Matos, where it says Chalayetzim Mipiv Yaseh, that's an Iser Aseh. In this week's Sedra, that it says Motzu Sechatishma V'Yasisa, etc., that's a Kiyom Aseh. If a person pledges to give tzedakah and then he gives it, he has a Kiyom HaMitzvah by giving it. In addition to the mitzvah of tzedakah, let's say a person pledges to learn a Blat Gemara, pledges to bring a korban to the Beis HaMikdash, and he does learn the Blat Gemara, and he does bring the korban. In addition to having mitzvah Talmud Torah, in addition to having the mitzvah bringing a korban, he has another mitzvah that he fulfilled his promise. He pledged to do a mitzvah, and he did it. That's a kiyama mitzvah. Masheni came kalayetz mepiv yasid. That's not a kiyama mitzvah. He took a shvua not to attend his mother-in-law's birthday party, and he doesn't attend, so he gets a mitzvah. He gets an aveira. He doesn't get in a mitzvah. Kalayetz mepiv yasid is an iser aseh, not a kiyama aseh. Then the Ramban comes up with another two differences between the two, and he says that the din of losa'achet l'shalma only appears in Parshas Kiseitse, and there is no din of balte acher a nidri harishus. He thinks that it's only a nidri gavoa. The Gemara says if you took a neder to bring a shlamim to the Beis Hamikdash, you have to bring it within shalosh regalim, within yid beis chodesh, whichever comes first. There's a din of balte acher. But let's say a person took a neder. He took a shavua, let's say, he will drink 100 bottles of beer within one day, within 1 hour. They have these contests. He's going to drink 100 bottles of beer within 1 hour. So does he have to hurry to do it quickly within Yud Beis Chodesh? Otherwise, he'll be in violation of Balte Acher. So the Ramban holds that there's no din of Balte Acher on Nidri Harshus. It's only on Nidri Gavoya, only Nidri Mitzvah. Then the Ramban has another difference. He thinks that a person takes a neder or a shvu on a dvar hashus, it's only binding if he says harini neder harini nishba. But if he just says, I will not attend my mother-in-law's 100th birthday party, he makes a firm statement, he will not attend. But he didn't say, I swear, he didn't say, I take an oath. So then the Ramban thinks that that's not a shvu, that's not binding. But by nidre mitzvah, even if he doesn't say harini neder harini nishba, he thinks, based on Gemara, many Gemaras, he thinks that it has a din of a shvu or a neder, even though he never used that lashon. So these are differences that the Ramban comes up here. The Ramban thinks that it's not a kefil a mitzvah. He thinks that the essay of Kol HaYotzim Mepiv Yase and the essay of Matzav Sechel Tishmor are not the same. One is a kiyam essay, one is an iser essay. Rav Soloveitchik thought that the Ramban probably also agrees to that. That one is a kiyam essay, one is an iser essay. Nonetheless, the Rambam thought that it should still be counted as one essay. They're still connected with each other. Like he spoke about Ach B'Yom Rishon Tashbisa, that Tashbisa is both an iser essay and a kiyam essay on the Tuesday night shiur. So it's one pasuk, one idea, two parts to the idea, an iser essay and a kiyam essay. Even if there's zman shazeh, lo kazman shazeh, even if you hold like Rashi that the zman of the kiyam essay is before chatzos, the zman of the iser essay is after chatzos, but still, it's one pasuk and it's two parts of the pasuk. So even though here it's two different psukim, one is an iser essay, one is a kiyam essay, the Rambam thinks that it should be counted as one mitzvah. It's not exactly kefil mitzvah, but it's still, it can both fit into one mitzvah. So the pashtus is that this whole idea that a minig is binding midirabanan mitam neder means when is a minig binding mitam neder? If a person observed the minig toiv once and he had a mind to continue to do it for the rest of his life, or if he wasn't thinking one way or the other, but he observed this minig toiv three times in a row. So if he observed it three times in a row, even though he wasn't thinking one way or the other, his actions seemed to demonstrate that this is a Kabbalah that he plans to accept upon himself, to continue to observe that practice. So then you say that a minhag Torah is binding mitam neder midirabbanan. It's not binding because you need levati b'sosayim. In Minat Torah, the only exceptions to the rule are Hegdish and Truma. That was the Gemara Shavuos Daf Chavav and Beis. Korbanos Kol Nediv Leivado Savir, the posing Nediv Hayamim, and Nefshal Lecham Chumaschem, that Truma is an Inyan of Hafloa, should have been Chala Ide Amira, and the posing says, Nefshal Lecham Chumaschem, Truma Nitelis Memachshava. So Minat Torah, these are the only two exceptions to the rule. And maybe it's Dokke has the din like Hegdish, maybe that's also an exception to the rule Minat Torah, the person was Goma Belibo. To give the tzedakah, let's say if Rav Baruch Be'er has on Gemara in the Dorim, he quotes a sheet of Mukudetzes, just poshub shat, without any chidushim. Let's say they're making an appeal for a certain charitable cause, and I'm toying with the idea of giving $1,000, $100, $800. I keep on changing my mind. Every half a minute, I change my mind. So if I didn't make up my mind, behechlet, if I took a neder on the spur of the moment, I'm giving pledge to give $1,000. You know, I didn't think so much. But if I said the pair, then the pair is binding. You got to give the $1,000. But if I didn't say it, I'm just toying with the idea of giving a larger amount, small amount. So you don't have to give the largest amount that you had a Havamina for. The Havamina doesn't count. If you say that it's Dokir Schal B'Machshava, that means you made up your mind, Behechlet, that you're going to give so much. But just because you're toying with the idea that that would not be Mechayev. So that's why Baruch Be'er quotes the answers, a certain kasha with this, quotes the Shita Mekubetzes on the Dorim, points that out. Okay. So that is, so the here, Tosis points out, the opening Mishnah in Perek Makom Shenagu presented as if the two minhagim, whether you do malacha or don't do malacha, as if it depends on the minhag amakam. Yeah. If you say that a minhag is binding me tam neder, so that's interesting. You're assuming that there's a neder hayochet, that there's a neder hatzibur. There's a concept of neder hatzibur, there's a concept of minhag hamishpacha. The Gemara said there was one family in a certain city that they had to practice a few generations and around, they had to practice to stop working Friday afternoon at Chatzos. They wouldn't work after Chatzos. So then it's binding on the future generations. So that's an interesting concept, that not only is there a neder hayochid, a shvuas hayochid, there's a neder hatzibur, the whole community. In this city, this is the minhag. Or in this shul, this is the minhag. The other shul have a different minhag. Or all of Klal Yisrael has a minhag. So you're assuming that minhag is binding mitam neder midirabbanan. That's the Gemara in the Dorim on Daf Tezvav. There's bal yachal midirabbanan. Dvarim hamutarim achayim noga behem iser. There's a violation of bal yachal. So the Gemara says the bal yachal is only midirabbanan. It's not really minatara. So that's an interesting assumption that there's such a concept as a shvuas hatzibur. Not only is there a shvuas hayochad, there's a shvuas hatzibur. The Ragat Shabbat points this out, because we have a pasuk that's repeated three times in Shir Hashirim. Ishbati eschem enos Yerushalayim em to'iru em to'iru esa'avo ad she'techpots. So the more in the end of Ksubis, in the last part in Ksubis, Ksubis talks about Kiddushin talks about Eris, and Ksubis talks about Nisuin. So it talks about what are the marital obligations, what are the reciprocal obligations in marriage. So let's say the couple has a machloikis. One of the members of the marriage wants to move to Eretz, and the other one wants to stay behind in Chutz La'aretz. So usually when you have a shutfus, you go basarayv. It says in Chosh Mishpot, if you have a shutfus in a business, and they have a machlekes, which route to take with the business, what direction they should go. So you go basarayv, it's a tosefta, Mechavik quotes a tosefta. So the Bir Agra says, where is the mocker of the tosefta? How does the tosefta know this din? So he says it's based on the Pasuk and Mishpatim, Acharam Lahatas. Pasuk and Mishpatim is talking about a split vote and a bezin. But the Bir Agra assumes that who are dinami, if you have a shutfus in a business, you have a corporation, you have a million people have shares in the corporation. So you go basarayv whenever an issue comes up. You can't give in to every single person. You have to go basarayv. So the so if you have a marriage, there's one husband and one wife. Before the Chaim de Rabbeinu Gershom, it was permissible to have more than one wife. But in the days of the Tanaim, it was not so common. In recent years, by the Sfardim, it was very common. But in the days of the Tanaim, you have Mishnayos in the end of the second Perek in Yevamos, where it's assumed that it was not so common to have more than one wife. So if you have one husband and one wife, and one wants to move there, so one wants to stay where they are in New Jersey or whatever, so how are you going to go basarayv? If you're only two partners in the shutfus, how are you going to determine? So the Mishnah says, whenever you have a split vote in the marriage, whether they should move to Eretz or not, the one who wants to move to Eretz Yisrael has the correct taina. And if the Yazman doesn't want to go along, we consider the one who stays behind the Chutz La'aretz as being responsible for ruining the marriage. I would have said that if they lived in New Jersey the last 50 years, So they're living in New Jersey. When they got married, they didn't make up they're going to move to Eretz Yisrael. They decided to move to New Jersey. Then 50 years later, they have all the relatives live here in America. And one of them becomes a big Zionist. He wants to move to Eretz Yisrael. So I would have thought that he's the one who's ruining their marriage. So the Mishnah says not so. The Mishnah says that the one who wants to go to Eretz Yisrael has the gerecht taina, and the one who wants to stay behind is responsible for ruining the marriage. And if it's the wife who's responsible, then she loses her ksuba. She loses her ksuba. So So the Gemara there, and the end of Ksubis on that Mishnah about whoever wants to go to Eretz Yisrael, if they live in Eretz Yisrael, one of them wants to move to Yerushalayim, the other wants to stay in Petach Tikva, whatever. So the one who wants to move to Yerushalayim has the correct taina, and the one who doesn't want to go along is responsible, is considered as if they ruined their marriage. So the Gemara there quotes the pasuk from Shir Hashirim that is repeated three times. So the Gemara says, Gimel Shavuos is Shbi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Es Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had the Jewish people take three Shavuos. That's the Shalosh Shavuos. That's when the Zionist movement began years ago, in the late 1800s. So some of the Hungarian Rabbanim were opposed because of the Shalosh Shavuos. One of the Shalosh Shavuos was Im Tiru, that we won't force the issue, we won't force the Umis Olam to give us back Eretz Yisrael. So that's called the Shalosh Shavuos. So the practice used to be in the early 1900s that all the Bochum would send kashas or shaglas to the Ragachava. They would send him a postcard with another postcard attached that he should return with the postage paid already, and he should return an answer on their kasha, on their shaila and learning, on the postcard that was prepaid. So they printed a few collections of all of the letters that the Ragachava wrote. So usually the Bochum and Yeshiva would ask kasha. So someone once asked them, what does it say about the Shalosh Shavuos? They wanted to get him involved in politics, that he should take a stand on the Zionist movement, whether it's Keneged Adin or not. So he knew what they wanted. So he didn't answer on the politics. He wrote it about Torah on the Shalosh Shavuos. So he raises a question, how come it says that before Yosef passed away, it says, so Rashi on Chumash quotes from the Mechilta, why does it say twice Hashbeya Hashbeya? So Yosef knew that his brothers would not be alive at the time of the Gula. The Gula was, how long were they in Mitzrayim? 210 years they were in Mitzrayim, weren't there 400 years? Redu, they were there 210 years. So the brothers not going to live so long. So he couldn't have the brothers swear that they're going to take his body back there. He saw the brother not going to be alive at the time of the Gula. So he had them swear that they'll make their children swear, they'll make their children swear that when the time comes, they'll take Yeshua's body back and bury him in Eretz Yisrael. So the Ragachover asks Akasha, how come by Yosef, Hishbiyam, Shehashbiyah, Zbenayim, and in the Shalosh Shavuos, the Ragachover said, I never took the Shavuot. I never heard from my parents and my grandparents that they took the Shavuot. So why is the Shavuot binding on us? We never took the Shavuot in the first place. The Shavuot was taken sometime before the days of Shlomo HaMelech, because he records it in Shir HaShirim. So why is the Shavuot binding on us? We never took the Shavuot. So the Ragachover answers, he thinks it's a difference between Koidem Matan Torah and Lacha Matan Torah. Koidem Matan Torah, there was no Tzibur of Klal Yisrael. There were Yechidim. Until they crossed over the Yarden in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, there was no concept of Klal Yisrael. There were only Yechidim. So Yosef HaTzadik couldn't just have the brothers swear that they're going to bring his body back. That wouldn't be binding on their grandchildren. But their great-grandchildren, they're not going to be alive at the time of the Gula in Mitzrayim to take Yosef's Oren back. So Yadid be Mahishbiyam Sheyashbiyaz B'nei. But by the time Shlomo HaMelech writes the Shir HaShirim, there already came into existence a concept of Klal Yisrael, that there's a Umah Yisraelis. When they made the Brachas of Klal Yisrael, the Hagriz Maharevel, that's when Klal Yisrael Reven Zebazeh set in. That's when the concept of the Tzibur was created. So once you have a tzibur and the tzibur takes a shvua, hishbati eschem anos Yerushalayim, that shvua is binding even on all the future generations. Let's say one nation makes a treaty with another nation. They make an agreement. So the agreement is binding not only calls man that president is the president. And after they vote in a different president, and then 100 years later, the treaty that's binding on the nation. Binding on the nation. So that was the Dvar Torah that the Ragachover wrote. So he said, you see that there's such a thing as a Shavuos HaYoch and a Shavuos HaTzibur. That's why there's such a thing as a Minig HaYoch and Minig HaYitzibur. Minig is binding mitam neder, mitam rabbanon. So there's a neder hayochid, then there's a neder hatzibur, then there's a neder hamishpacha. And the tzibur is not only all of Klal Yisrael, the tzibur. Minig poshe b'chol tfutz tzitzirat. Even if it's just a minig amokam, this community has a minig like that. So here in the, here, Tosis on base on the base points out that this inyan of not doing melacha on Erev Pesach is a machlokes hatanoim, whether it's a real din or it's a minig. Yeah. Some hold that it's a real din. Some tanoim hold that it's a real din. What kind of a real din is it? Because on Erev Pesach, Tosis over there, Nun Amar Aleph explained, they quote the Yerushalmi. On Erev Pesach, he bring a special korban. Whenever you, every day of the year, you bring two tmidim. They can say every day of the year is a yontif, so you're not never allowed to go to work. No, it's, it says in the Chumash, Sheish Yom Tavod. This is Kamal Atecha. On Shabbos, you take off. You don't say that since every day of the year you bring a carbon tamid, so every day there's an Issa Malacha. But any day that you bring extra carbonis, Musafim, namely Shabbos, Yontif, Chalamoid, Rosh Chodesh, or Erev Pesach, when you bring the carbon Pesach, so when you bring extra carbonis, so there's an idea over here. A day on which you bring a carbon is like a yontif, and a yontif has an isa malach. He's supposed to celebrate the fact that you brought a carbon. So there's room to say that maybe there's an isa deraisa over here. That's what it sounds like a little bit from the Talmud Yerushalmi that Tosis quotes on Nunam and Aleph. There's only one Tosis there. But the Talmud Yerushalmi sounds as if it were really a din deraisa. Maybe it's only an asmach that's a real din of the Rabbanan. And other Tanaim say no, that the whole idea not to do malach on Erev Pesach is only a minute. So here the Gemara has a machlokes hatanoim on base on the base. When does the Issa Malacha begin on Erev Pesach? Lemesah Abasa Asa Basis Malacha. Blazim Yankov says Mishasa Or. Rabbi Yudaim and Mishasa Neitzachama. So what does it mean Mishasa Or? So the Gemara comes to the conclusion means from the time of Alos HaShachar. And Rabbi Yudaim says no, Mishasa Neitzachama. So Rashi on base comments that you're not allowed to do melacha on Erev Pesach, it's a minig, and machlokes hatanoim is when it begins. So they says, a machlokes hatanoim, what the minig is? Ask the balabatim what the minig is, and you find out, whatever the minig is, that's what the din is. The oath, they says, nechse hechinol, find out what the minig is, so you know when the minig begins. So Rashi apparently holds that a minig is binding mitam neder midrabanan. If it's a minig ledvar mitzvah, like we said, the Ramban holds it, two different parshas in the Chumash, and parshas Matas is nidri harshus, and parshas kiseitze, it's a nidre gavoa. It's a nidre gavoa on the level of the raisa, are sometimes chal min haTorah. If a person called nadiv leva, they say viva. If a person is menadiv, believe to bring a korban oilo, he's mechuyid min haTorah to bring it. And many hold that tzedaka yimuchayid min haTorah. Amirasa lagavakim sirasa lehad yadami. We treat tzedaka also like kavoa, and that's also binding min haTorah somehow. That another to give tzedaka is binding balei, binding min haTorah, just like hegdish is like that. So, but the rabbanon they said that any minik taif is binding with the rabbanon like nidre gavoya. He treat everything like nidre gavoya. So in order that it should be considered like nidre gavoya, like a neder ledvar mitzvah, so it has to fit in with rules and regulations. We have called the tikkun rabbanan kein deraisa tikkun. If you have a minhag to stand on your head every Wednesday morning from 9 to 10, that's not binding. That's not, even if the whole community does it, unless they ascertain that it's very good for your health, okay? So then there's a mitzvah in the Torah to take good care of your health. And the meaning is that everybody stands on the head from 9 to 10 every Monday morning. But the doctors have not ascertained that that's a healthy bedavka Wednesday morning to stand for an hour. We're just talking about a minig. So a minig has to be, it's a dvar mitzvah. So it has to go with rules and regulations. Called the tikkun rabbanan kein deraisa tikkun. And hug him. Have to be along the lines of dina. So that's the Rashi is not so difficult. Tosis asks, Rashi learns a machlokes between Rabbi Yudah and Lezman Yankov is, if you hold that it's a minig not to do melacha on Erev Pesach, when does the minig begin? So Tosfos says, find out when the minig is. No. In order that the minig should be binding, it has to conform to rules and regulations that are fitting with halachic standards. Tosfos claims that the machlokes hatanaim is going with the assumption that it's a real din, either a din mederabbanan or a din menatar, that you're not allowed to do melacha on Erev Pesach. But Rashi is not so difficult. You have in Yeridei, there's such a Taz in Yeridei and Hilchos Taruvos, that if you have a minig to asav a lahachmer on something, it has to be consistent with other dinim. You can't just have a minig in the middle of nowhere. It has to be consistent with other minhagim. Shouldn't be a tarte disaster. Then the Gemara has a couple of other halachas here that are very important. Rav Soloveitchik used to refer to the Ravid over here. If you look, the Ravid on the Rif, on the beginning of Psochim, he has a comment on the Mishnah in Krisis, the top line on the Av Gimla Medalev. The din is that my wife had 9 babies. Well, the babies are married, they have their own babies by now. So when the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, my wife will be obligated to bring 9 sets of karbanos. The Yoledes is obligated to bring a set of karbanos. What if the Yoledes had twins or triplets? If it's one, if the second and the third babies are born within the first, with the malos of the first baby, if a woman has a baby boy, then it's a malos of 40 days. If a woman has a baby girl, it's a malos of 80 days. The Chumash refers to it as a malos. A malos means a unit of time superimposed on the calendar. There's no fixed date when the babies are born. A person is mekabel ned in Naziris. In Naziris for 50 days, for 100 days, for a year, from Purim to Purim, whatever. So that's a malos. So then there's a malos that's a unit of time superimposed on the calendar. That's called the malos. Avelos, where a person sits avel, that's a malos of Zman. So the... So if the woman has a baby boy, the malos is over at the end of 40 days. The woman has a baby girl, the malos is over at the end of 80 days. What's the relevance of malos? When the malos is up, then she's obligated to bring the karbanos. Malos, first there are 7 days of tumah, then 33 days of tahara, if it's a boy. And if it's a girl, there are 14 days of tumah and 66 days of tahara. That's dam tohar. Even if she has dam in the 33 days of the 66 days, and then it's that it's not mitamihar on the level of the raisim and the rabbanan. We have minhagim that we don't, the rabbanan minhagim, that we don't observe the din of dam tohar. But on the level of the raisim in the 33 days of the 66 days of yimei tohar, even if she has dam with a maritame, it's not mitamihar. So the tanoim have this din that. What if, let's say, the way Rashi explains over here, what if the woman had a baby girl and she goes to mikveh after 2 weeks and then she became pregnant again? Highly unlikely that she's going to become pregnant again. She's going to have relations with her husband right after having a baby. The whole story is highly unlikely, but halacha covers every case in the world. So the woman becomes pregnant and then she loses the baby. She has a miscarriage. She has 66 yimei tohar. So she becomes pregnant on the first day of the 66 in Tohar, and then she has a miscarriage. So does a woman have to bring a korban yoledes if she has a miscarriage? So the din is that yes, provided that there was a tzuras havlat. How long does the pregnancy have to be that it should be considered tzuras havlat? So the Gemara has, the Mishnah has machlekes hatanaim, and we paskin, it's a little over 40 days. Something like if you go, when you go to the baby doctor, I remember when we used to go to Dr. Gribitz, Olav HaShalom, he was our baby doctor. So he had in the office a picture, a book with pictures of what the fetus looks like at the different stages. So after 43 or 44 days of pregnancy, it looks like a tiny little gingerbread man. It looks like you have a tzuras havlat, is already nicker. It doesn't develop until 9 months later. But you already have, it's an inch by an inch. The whole thing is only a teeny-weeny little thing. But it's a little over 40 days. The Gemara doesn't say exactly 40 days. Before 40 days, for sure not. And then the first couple of days after 40 days, 43, 44, 45, something like that, that's when the tzuras havlat will be nikar. So if the woman has a miscarriage within the malos, she had a baby girl, and the malos is going to be 80 days. She went to mikveh after the 14 days, and then she became pregnant, highly unlikely, but we're talking about this far-fetched possibility. She becomes pregnant, and then she loses the pregnancy 50 days later, but she has 66 days in Yimei Tohar. So since she was mapil, the vlad, within the malos of the first baby, so she doesn't have to bring two sets of karbonas. What if she becomes pregnant? Then she's mappled the second vlad, the pregnancy after the malos of the first baby is up, even though it's a dead, the baby came out stillborn, but still you have to bring another set of karbonas on the second vlad, since it had a tzuras of vlad nikar. So you have to bring. So there's a machlekes b'sham and b'silo. What if she's mappela? She had a baby girl, and the malos is 80 days, and she was mappled the second fetus, she was mappled the second pregnancy, the night after the 80 days are over, before the morning of the 81st day. So the din of Dam Tohar, that if a woman has a baby boy, the first 7 days is Imei Tumah, even if there's no Dam. Even if it's but highly unlikely, even if it would be a lady Yadeshta, that's the Loshan Agamar, even if there wouldn't be any Dam at all. It never happened. Never had anything in the history of the world. When the baby comes out, it rips out the lining. The baby's attached to the lining inside the mother. So there's going to be a bucket full of dam. There's going to be a ton of dam over there. But the halacha says that the yoledes is tummy 7 days or 14 days, even if theoretically it would have been a lady yoledes, even if there's no dam at all. And then this, the 33 days or the 66 days after the Yimei Tumah, those are Yimei Tohar. So even if there is dam with a mara odom, the din is that it's not mitame. But what if this 80 days are up, and tomorrow morning she's able to begin to bring the karbonis, but she has a riyaz dam the night following the 80 days. So the Yimei Tohar are up. The Yimei Tohar are up at the end of the 40th day for a boy, the end of the 80th day for a girl. So if she has a riyaz dam, leil mem aleph, a leil pe aleph, so that dam is no longer dam tohar. That dam is going to be mitame her. But here the machlekes b'sham and b'sil is, what if she was mapil, not a riyaz dam, she was mapil, she has a stillborn baby, a little fetus, or lishmoinim v'yechud, because she couldn't have brought the karbonis on the 80th day. She's still in the middle of the malos. She has to wait till the morning, and you can't bring any karbonis at night. You have to wait till the morning. So is that considered as if the malos is only over with respect to dam tohar, but the malos is not, the two different dinim of a malos. There's a malos of 80 days when you get to dam tohar. The last 66 days of the 80 days, the malos is over when the 80th day is up. And then the laila following, leil pei aleph, or leyom pei aleph, the malos is over, so that dam will be mitame. So that's the malos is over, that they both agreed, b'sham and b'sil. But is the malos over with respect to hakrovas hakarban? That if she's mapel of vlad the night following the 80th day, that since she still didn't experience the morning of the 81st day, she's not yet able to bring any karbonis. So it's as if the malos with respect to karbonis is not over till the morning. Or do you say no, the malos for carbon is over at the same time the malos for tumah. So that's a machlokes b'sham and b'sil on the level of their eyes. So the Mishnah increases, these dinim are increases. The Mishnah increases, use the losh and mapelos or the shmoneh v'yech. So Rav Soloveitchik was fond of saying this over. The rivet on the bottom of the rift comes up with a suggestion. Why does the Mishnah use such a funny losh and or le'abosa? Why or? It really means laila. So the Gemara says lishne malya nokat. Instead of saying laila, it's dark, so they say or. Okay, like a sagi nohar, a person who can't see, a person who's blind, so he says a sagi nohar has a lot of light. He doesn't have any light, he can't see anything. There's also a loshen sagi nohar, that nighttime it's dark, so he called it or. Okay, that's the whole reason. So the rabbi comes up with a chiddush, a very original chiddush, not accepted lahalacha, that or labasa means as soon as it's shkia, even though it's bein hashmash, it's bein hashmash, it's safi yam safek laila. Or let's say if you hold like what the Hasidim understand in the Rabbin and Tamshita, that for another 55 minutes is Vada Yom, and then Ben Hashmashes begins labor. So even though it's Vada Yom, but that's called Or. So the Bedikas Chametz begins after the Shkia on Leil Yudal the Nissen, even though it's Vada Yom, or even though the outside is light. It's still outside light, but it's after the shkia. The din begins on the din depends on the shkia. So he says the same over here. Hamapelus or the shmoneh v'yechud. you don't consider the fact that there's a period of time that's called Bein Hashmashes, and you don't consider the fact that it's, let's say, according to Rabbi Yossi, the Mishnah Berurah said in the Bir Halacha that the Gemara Beis Amenalef is assuming La Halacha like Rabbi Yossi, that right after the Shkia is Vadayam for 24 and a half minutes, and then the last half a minute is going to be the Harifayim, that's the Bein Hashmashes. So it's Vadayom. It's still, even though it's Vadayom, but since it's after the Shkia, so it's already, or it's already Mapelas or the Shmar Nevi'ech. This then depends on Shkia. It doesn't depend on Yom and Laiva. It's a big chiddush. Rav Soloveitchik will point out that there are two dinim, Sif and the Raiva, there are two dinim, Yom and Laila. One din depends on the sun shining. So once the sun rises or the sun sets, before the sun rises is Vadayom, from Alos HaShachar till Zricha is Vadayom. If a person says halal, then lechatchila, the Mishnah says in Megillah, one should not say halal, one should not shake a lula, one should not blow shofar before Hanetzach Hama, because you may think that it's after Alos HaShachar, and you may make a mistake. It's after Alos HaShachar, it's dark outside. So you may think that it's light enough to blow shofar, may turn out that it's still in the middle of the nighttime. So that's why they made Gzeret Poshepshat, they made Gzeret the Rabban, and that you should, Adovish and Mitzvah Sabayon, you shouldn't do the Mitzvah Sayyam until Hanetzach Hama. So on that Mishnah in Megillah, some of the Rishonim seem to hold that that's a lechatchila deraisa, that you shouldn't shake the lulav and you shouldn't listen to the Tkil Shofar till after Hanetzach Hama. It's not poshut pshat, not that it's a gzera mederabbanan that you may make a mistake. It's a real din deraisa that since Tkil Shofar and lulav has to be fulfilled by yom, so there are two dinim of yom. Is one din of yom when the sun is shining, another din of yom when it's light outside. So light outside is from Alos HaShachar till Zvicha is Vadayom. And then from Shkia till Tzeser Kohavim is Bein Hashmashes. So if you get Safek Laila, but the sun is no longer shining. So the din of Yom Bishlei Muso, it says in Bereshis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the sun to be Koveya when it's Yom and when it's Laila. So one din of Yom and Laila is when the sun is shining, when the sun is not shining. Another din of Yom and Laila when it's light outside. So that's what the Raibit has this Chiddush, that sometimes there's a din that depends on Yom of the sun shining, and it doesn't depend on Bein Hashmashes, but say Satorom. It's a very big Chiddush. Rav Soloveitchik explained a few halachos. He came up with this idea. There are some Rishonim seem to hold like that. That Mishnah Megillah is al hatchila deraisa, that you shouldn't blow shofar and you shouldn't shake the lulav until after Hanetzach Hama. It could be that it's a din deraisa. And 100 years ago, 120 years ago, there was a great Goyim, the Aderis, that was the first father-in-law of Rav Kook. The Aderis, his name was his Rashi Tevis, Eliyahu David Rabinovich Ta'omim. So he, when Rav Shmuel Salant was the head of the Eda Charedis of the Ashkenazim for centuries, the only Sfardim living in Eretz Yisrael, the days of Rabbi Yosef Karo, the only Sfardim, until the early 1800s, that there was the Aliyah of the Talmidei HaGro, the Talmidei HaBal Shem Tov. So they moved to Eretz Yisrael in the hope that this would hasten the coming of Mashiach. So then they started a badat. They started a bezin for the Ashkenazim. So in the late 1800s, Shmuel Salant was an older person. He was getting older, and he said they should appoint an assistant rabbi to take over when he won't be able to function anymore. So there was a whole pilpul for a long time who should come, and they took the Aderis. So the Aderis was came, I think, 1901 or something like that, 1902, and he died a few years later. He died 1906 or something, and Rav Shmuel Salant was still alive. He never had a chance to really act as the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim. So the Aderis was a big paisek, and they quote a lot of original psukim that he gave. So he understood the Pashup said that Mishnah Megillah is a lechatchila derabbanan, that you shouldn't shake a lulav and you shouldn't say halel and you shouldn't blow shofar before Hanetzach Hama is only mederabbanan, because he may make a mistake. So he said, he came up with a chiddush, that since today half the people wear watches, today more than half the people wear watches, those who don't have a watch, every shul has a clock hanging on the wall. So what if someone's going to make a mistake? Every newspaper tells you what time the sun rises. So everybody knows when sun rises, and everybody knows Alos HaShachar is not 3 hours before. You have a clock, you know what time it is, and you know what time approximately is Alos HaShachar. He thought that this chumrah this gzera derabbanan shouldn't apply bisman hazeh. He was outvoted about his original chidushim. It was outvoted, and they assume that it's not so, that it's a din derabbanan. It still applies bisman hazeh. The way Rav Soloveitchik developed the idea, and some rishonim have it like that, I think the Sefer Haredim has like that, that it's a lechatchila deraisa, because you need the full lechatchila deraisa, you need a full din yom for tkiya shofar for netilas lulav. Okay, tomorrow morning, B'li Neder, I will give a shiur, whoever is interested, at on the same website, I think, at 10:30 on Parshas Kisetze. I usually discuss how the Torah Shabbat understands the Parshios. And then B'li Neder on Sunday, we will continue. Maybe we'll talk about some of the dinim that we didn't do today, and based on the days, we'll continue. Okay. Good.
Rabbi, going back to the Aderes, wouldn't it be considered Davar Shemini and Tzark Mini Nachil Atiro?
That's a very good question. So you got to give a good answer. Okay.